them one heart
and one way, that they may fear me forever, for the good of them and of their children after them.
Benjamin and Natasha, and family and friends throughout the world, I'm happy that we can all celebrate together the marriage ceremony of Lily and Greg and be witness to the work of our great God, for He has given them one heart and one way. When Greg asked permission to marry Lily, Mr. Naprienko shared this passage with him. Genesis 24 is the story of the Lord's leading Rebekah and Isaac together. Abraham sent his servant to find a wife for Isaac among his own people. We will read the culmination of that story in Genesis 24, 48 through 66. And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord, and blessed the Lord, the God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if you will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her, and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And as it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver and jewels of gold and raiment and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, and he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and they said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, at least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, Hinder me not. Seeing the Lord hath prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah, her sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seeds possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon the camels and followed the man. And the servant took Rebekah and went on his way. And Isaac came from the way to the well of Lahai-Rahi, for he had dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field in the evening time. And he lifted up his eyes, and he saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. Last Saturday at the reception for Lily's family and friends in Moscow, Mr. Naprienko gave a short message. Jane Naprienko will read a portion of that message.
Today, I would like to draw our attention to the way God leads His people and settles their lives. God has provided His way for each of us, and He has His own chosen lot for all of us. We're not indifferent to what God has prepared for us, and God is not indifferent to what way we choose to go. We read in Genesis chapter 24, verse 50, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. These words were spoken when Abraham's servant came to a faraway land to find a wife for Isaac. It was a difficult journey, and he had to make a difficult decision. Everyone who has been faced with marriage knows how difficult the decision-making process can be and how important it is not to make any mistake in this vital matter. So Abraham's servant called unto the Lord and asked him for help. He opened the desires of his heart before the Lord, and God immediately gave him the answer. God sent Rebekah, and when he came into their house, and told her family of God's leading, Laban, her brother, said, "The thing proceeded from the Lord." Immediately he wanted to go back home. They asked Rebekah whether she wanted to go with him. She said, "I will go." She went with him, even though she didn't know what her future would be, for she was sure that the thing proceeded from the Lord. Lily, when God creates a new family, he always tears one away from each parent's house. Your family is a little sad that you're going away to another country. But we know that God has prepared a way for you, and we are happy for you. People sometimes wonder what happiness is. Some say that happiness is when the newlyweds look at each other. Others say that happiness is when the couple looks in the same direction. But I tell you that the happiness is when you both look to the Lord. This is the most important thing. Christians are always happy when the Lord is with them. Our prayer for you is that you and Greg constantly look to the Lord and abide in fellowship with Him. Your family rejoices in your happiness today and prays that you and Greg may grow in grace and knowledge of our Savior.
Amen.
Thank you.
This certainly is a wonderful occasion for us to be gathered here today to join in marriage this fine couple. And as we are here today, it's an opportunity for us to observe the visible manifestation of God at work. God has been doing something in the lives of their families and in each of them. And we have the privilege, many of us, of having observed parts of this work of God. God, so often we see Him draw people to Himself. And it's always a joy when we see Him draw people to each other. And God is always able to build many disparate people as they come into His family, into one body. And He's able to take a couple that belongs to Him and make them into one as well. And what we observe today is a testimony of God's transforming power, of His preparation of His children, and of His provision for them. And it's also a testimony of the way He uses believers in the lives of other believers. First, the way He's used Greg and Lily in each other's lives. But their families play such an important part in what we observe. And though you may not know this, you're being watched today. Because over in Moscow, Lily's family is watching via webcam. And it's a special privilege for them to participate in this service in this way. And there are at least a couple different stations, I guess, where people are watching and able to enjoy what God is doing here. And though I don't see you, and I'm not even sure if I'm looking at you, I want to welcome you. As we meditate on the marriage ceremony, there are many things that can come to our minds in many different passages of Scripture. But I thought it would be appropriate for us to prepare our hearts for the union of this couple by giving a few minutes to meditate on the splendor of the privilege that is granted to all believers who belong to God. And many New Testament voices actually unite in upholding the splendor of this privilege for us. Paul says we were one time darkness, but now are we light in the Lord. And we are to walk as children of light, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Peter reminds us that we, in times past, were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. That we should show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light. And then the Apostle John reminds us, as Christ is, so are we to be in this world. And everyone who has that eternal hope in Him purifies himself even as God is pure. And then we learn to do those things, John says, that are pleasing in His sight. And these New Testament writers not only unanimously declare the privilege that we have in Christ, but they're united also in their declaration of God's provision for us to be able to do this very thing. We were dark, but now we are light in the Lord. And how is it that we are able to show forth the praises of Him who has called us out of darkness into His marvelous light? Peter tells us that God has given us all things that pertain to life and godliness. Paul tells us that He who began a good work in us will be faithful to complete it, and that we also have the privilege of beholding the glory of the Lord in the pages of His Word, and then by the Spirit of the Lord being changed ourselves into that same image. The Apostle John tells us that when we see Him, we will be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. We have this wonderful privilege as believers. And God has so structured the relationships of life that we have the opportunity in every one of them to demonstrate this transforming work of God. But there is something special about marriage, because God has not only ordained that this marriage be a means of communicating change in our own lives, but God has so ordained that the union of a couple before Him in marriage actually is a vivid portrayal of the gospel itself. And Greg and Lily, it is a high calling that God issues for you. It's an opportunity to display the truths that are embodied in the gospel, to learn to love and behave like Christ is a privilege. To be light as He is a privilege. But there's a great responsibility. We all pray that God will help you to do precisely this kind of behavior in your home. Not only does it portray the gospel in its message, but marriage is a visible portrayal of what takes place between Christ and every believer. So we will have that reenacted and lived out for us today. And it's a fearful thing for us, I think, when we are reminded that our homes are supposed to portray Christ and His gospel. But I read these words from Spurgeon, and they were an encouragement to me, and I trust they will be to you. He just simply said, if you are not today all that you hope to be, yet look at Jesus, and that can assure you that one day you will be like Him. Lord willing, in years to come, you will be even better skilled at portraying Christ in your marriage than you will be when you first begin. The object of your marriage, though it should make you very happy, I have a hunch that it will, that's not the primary purpose for your union. God desires through your union to make you more holy, to make you more like Himself. And when He gives that admonition or that purpose to us in His Word, He very kindly, graciously, then defines responsibilities that go with the new roles that you will be assuming. And He gives you that because He loves you. And He wants you to know precisely how to be light in your home through very specific instruction. Interestingly, the ingredients of a union like this are ingredients that were manifest in our Lord's life. Two elements that are in probably the strongest passage on marriage in our New Testament, and that is Ephesians 5. And in this passage, the Apostle Paul is going to uphold submission and love. These should define your home. He targets each of you with one of these, but both of you need to remember that Christ displayed both of them. Christ submitted Himself in the eternal counsels of the Godhead to follow the will of His Father and to humble Himself and become obedient unto death, even a cross-like kind of death. But on the other side of that submission was a heart full of love. And that heart full of love gladly, voluntarily, sacrificially gave Himself for people that they might be redeemed and that they might become like Him. And very briefly, because we have rehearsed these things together, I want to remind you in front of all of these eager witnesses of how God spells out these roles for you. Lily, when the Apostle Paul speaks to the ladies in Ephesians chapter 5, summarizing her role in the home in that one word, submission, he gives three verses of instruction that are specific to her. Verses 22 through 24, he admonishes the wives to submit themselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he's the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And Lily, the ways that Christ asks you to imitate him on the road of submission is to do so, first of all, like he did, and do it willingly. Greg knows, and you may well know, the meaning of this word submission. Christ knows. And it is a voluntary willingness to arrange himself underneath the leadership of another. Though in essence he was equal, he followed. And that is precisely what he desires of you, to willingly submit yourselves to Greg. And to do so exclusively, because the passage says to your own husbands. Well, after today, you will have your own husband. And it is to this one man that you are to have this special kind of relationship, to no other man. Not only is it to be willing and exclusive, but it is to be a spiritual decision on your part. Paul says it's to be unto the Lord. It's not something that you can do in the flesh. It's something you will have to do in obedience to the Lord. And you will need his help to be able to obey this command. Willingly, exclusively, spiritually, and then he gives these words, in everything. So Lily, from this day forward, there is nothing in which you can reserve the right to yourself to withhold submission from Greg. You are to be submitted to him in everything. It doesn't take a long time to say that word, but it takes a long time to really understand what it means. And Greg, when the Apostle Paul shifts his attention to the man, probably the wives breathed a sigh of relief. I'm not sure. But Paul, if anything, is much harder on the men even than he is on the women. They have to display an aspect of Christ's character that the Bible actually uses to define who God is. God is love. And Christ manifested that love in multiple ways for his body. Verse 25 says, "Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that he might present it to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. And so ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loves his wife loves himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it, even as the Lord the church. For this cause, then, he says, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife, be joined to her, and they two shall be one flesh." So, Greg, when the Lord speaks to you, he insists that you follow the example of love in your home, and that you follow it in the very way that he communicated it to his church. And I think it's helpful for us to observe right at the beginning that when Christ demonstrated his love to the church did not look lovely. The church actually had arranged, or we weren't the church yet, but we had arranged ourselves in hatred against God. And yet he loved us when we were the most unlovely. And God has given you a lovely bride. But he also expects of you that you will learn to love her at all times, in all conditions. You will need to emulate your Savior in this way. And when he displayed his love, he did it very sacrificially. He gave himself for it. and to some degree you have already learned to sacrifice just to obtain your bride. But in the days ahead, there will be times where maybe smaller sacrifices may be demanded of you, but ones that are harder to give. God says, love your wife in a way that is self-sacrificial. But all of it is not to be in vain. You're not just supposed to love her and sacrifice for her some form of duty. God actually holds out a purpose for you in this. And it's the purpose of sanctifying your wife. Your marriage is designed to make you both holy. But your objective in your marriage needs to be to make sure your wife grows in the Lord. To make sure that she becomes stronger as a believer than she was even when you first met. And you can do this in numerous ways. But you need, from the very beginning, to establish an atmosphere in your home where your wife can flourish. You need to choose the right kind of friends with which to associate that will be helpful for you. You need to choose the right activities to do together and to spend your energy making sure that satanic elements and things that would thwart the work of God in your homes would stay outside its walls. You can very purposefully contribute to the sanctification of your wife. This relationship of love that you have to her is also one of deep personal interest. You don't need that one explained to you much, but it is something you do need to work to maintain. You are to dwell with her according to knowledge, and your knowledge of her really should grow. You should be able to say in the weeks that come, in the months and years that pass, that you know your wife much better than you ever thought you possibly could. It's for this cause that a man leaves his father and mother and cleaves. You are to be glued to her, to make her the other part of you, the other part that God prepared to complete you. To this point in your life, there is a sense in which you have not been all there. But after today, you have no excuses. And as Paul concludes this admonition, he says, "Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife." And then his final words in that chapter, "and the wife see that she reverence her husband." And if you too will receive those words, not just today, but each day from the Lord, He will enable you to build a home that will display the glorious privilege that He's given to you as individual believers to live out the life of His Son here on this earth. At this time, let's bow together for prayer. Our Father, I think we are all nearly always sobered by the words of the Apostle Paul and by the lofty example that he sets before us. How often we do fall short of imitating Christ. And how often we fall short, not only in public arenas, but in the privacy of our homes. And we pray, Father, that you would allow Greg and Lily to sanctify what they share today, that they would be able, with resolve and with patience and with genuine faithfulness, be able to persevere in the vows that they pledge to each other today. We pray that it would be their ambition to see holiness perfected in their lives as they fear you. And we pray that their home might be clean and be a testimony of the transforming power of your Son. Father, may it be a tool through which you declare the gospel to heathen people and to a lost world around. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Greg, do you take Lily Naprienko to be your lawfully wedded wife?
I do.
And Lily, do you take Gregory Mark Kielmeyer to be your lawfully wedded husband?
I do.
Greg, if you would first repeat after me. I, Greg Kielmeyer, take you, Lily Naprienko.
I, Greg Kielmeyer, take you, Lily Naprienko.
To be my lawfully wedded wife.
To be my lawfully wedded wife.
I covenant before God and these witnesses.
I covenant before God and these witnesses.
To love, honor, and cherish you.
To love, honor, and cherish you.
In plenty or in want.
In plenty or in want.
In joy or in sorrow.
In joy or in sorrow.
In health or in sickness.
In health or in sickness.
To live with you in purity and faithfulness.
To live with you in purity and faithfulness.
To forsake all others and cleave only unto you.
To forsake all others and cleave only unto you.
So long as we both shall live.
So long as we both shall live.
Amen. Lily, if you would repeat after me. I, Lily Naprienko, take you, Greg Kielmeyer.
I, Lily Naprienko, take you, Greg Kielmeyer.
To be my lawfully wedded husband.
To be my lawfully wedded husband.
I covenant before God and these witnesses.
I covenant before God and these witnesses.
To love, honor, and obey you.
To love, honor, and obey you.
In plenty or in want.
In plenty or in want.
In joy or in sorrow.
In joy or in sorrow.
In health or in sickness.
In health or in sickness.
To live with you in purity and faithfulness.
To live with you in purity and faithfulness.
To forsake all others and cleave only unto you.
To forsake all others and cleave only unto you.
So long as we both shall live.
So long as we both shall live.
Greg, what token do you bring as a sign of your vows?
A ring.
If you will slide this on her finger and repeat after me, Greg. With this ring, I thee wed.
With this ring, I thee wed.
In token and pledge.
In token and pledge.
Of our constant faith and abiding love.
Of our constant faith and abiding love.
And Lily, what sign do you bring as a token of your vows? As you put this on his finger, if you would repeat after me as well. With this ring, I thee wed.
With this ring, thee I wed.
In token and pledge.
In token and pledge.
Of our constant faith and abiding love.
Of our constant faith and abiding love.
Thank you.
mystery of love profound, that grace so greatly does abound, that Christ forever will abide with his beloved church, his bride. O love divine, on earth displayed, of man and wife one flesh are made, till we shall join heaven's blessed throng. O keep us, Lord, in union strong, till we shall join that joyful song. O bless us, Lord, we pray. Thy love may we lifelong display, and know God's gift, one heart, one way. Our home a sacred, quiet place, where daily we behold your face. O guide us, Lord, through all our days, to walk in truth and keep your ways, till we shall join heaven's blessed throng. O keep us, Lord, in union strong, till we shall join that joyful song. O bless us, Lord, we pray.
For as much as Greg and Lily have consented together in holy wedlock and have witnessed to the same before God and this company and have pledged thereto their faith, I pronounce that they are husband and wife. And what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And Greg, you may kiss your wife. Shall we bow together in prayer once again? Father, the joy of such a moment fills our hearts, and we thank you for the work that you have done. And we pray that you would embolden the faith of both Greg and Lily, and that you would strengthen them for the steps that are yet before them. We pray that the joy that fills their heart in this moment would be sustained, that it would be the kind of joy that finds its delight first of all in you, the giver of all good gifts, for what you have brought to them today. And Father, as we ourselves have been witnesses of these things, we pray that we would leave here sharpened by what we have seen and heard. And we pray in Jesus' name, amen. Do you turn? So, ladies and gentlemen, it's really with great pleasure that I'm able now to present to you Dr. and Mrs. Greg Kielmeyer. invite all of you to join them at a reception at the lower level of the activity building that is just adjoining to this one. There is one admonishment to please be careful. The steps in the building are steep. And if you have difficulty with steps, there actually is a ground level entrance if you go around to the far side of the building. That may be more convenient for someone here. But on behalf of the couple and their families, they want to give their sincere thanks to you for coming and ask the Lord's blessing on you. And at this time, you are dismissed.